Welcome to Decide to Transform. You made it to level two, deeper questions leading to deeper answers. I'm Tomas Garza, and I'm here to help you decide to transform. I'll be setting the pace for the process to support your unfolding. Learn and commit to a practice that brings simplicity and awareness of what is ready to be released. Join me now and allow the experience of a deeper sense of love. Welcome, welcome everybody to Decide to Transform. I'm your host, Tomas Garza, and wherever you're joining us from today, I want to thank you for tuning into the show here on Om Times Radio. Over the past few weeks, we have been through a number of different personal incidents and anecdotes, and I want to thank all of you for all of your kind words and all of your emails of support. And I'm so happy that the information that I've been going through here on the show has been of benefit and help to you. In fact, that is why I'm here in the podcasting arena to start off with. So I'm happy also to announce that today we are going to switch gears here on the show, and I would like to welcome a very special guest to Decide to Transform today. My guest today is Amber Kiera, and Amber hails from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She's joining us today as a professional speaker and coach. Now, Amber has been described in many ways, but you're going to love her because one of the themes that comes up is she's like a shot of espresso. And that's what people use to describe her. She has an infectious joy and energy, and she is set to deliver a wonderful, wonderful show for you today.
Tomas, Amber, thank you so much for having me on.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. And guys, Amber, a special note about her, lost 90% of her eyesight growing up as a kid. And she tours the country and speaks to people all over about overcoming these difficulties that, frankly, most of us have never had to face and probably never will. So the title of our talk today is Blind with 2020. Blind with 2020, the secret to living with a vision that will never blur. All right, Amber. Well, thank you again for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on today. And I know people are looking forward to a shot of espresso. So thank you for joining us.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I am looking forward to delivering that shot of espresso and a beautifully packaged gift.
I love it. Wonderful. Thank you. Well, so how did you arrive at the show title today, Blind with 2020? Tell us a little bit more about that and your background, because you said that all of this began to happen with the loss of your eyesight when you were a kid. So what's how did that begin?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a twin, and so my parents, they always had one other kid to compare the other child to. And so when I was about 2 years old, my parents noticed that I was not really responding to visual cues in the same manner that my twin brother was. And, you know, after a series, and of course, any parents out there who have kids with disabilities or special challenges or needs can surely relate to this, but after many, many trips back and forth to the doctor's offices and lots of poking and prodding, the doctors eventually diagnosed me with a degenerative eye condition called retinitis pigmentosa, which meant I would lose an unspecified amount of my eyesight at an undetermined rate of time. And so really, I lost that 90% of my visual field throughout childhood. Most of it was throughout childhood. And and also lost most of my visual acuity there. But where I get this title from, Blind with 20/20, Living with a Vision That Will Never Blur, is because I've come to realize over the years of lots of self-discovery and observation of the wisdom that I've gained and the circumstances I've overcome, is that though I have lost a significant amount of physical eyesight, what I have gained is really an incredible vision for my life, where I get to use these experiences to inspire hundreds and thousands of other people to live a life of boldness and courage. And so that vision is crystal clear, just as it would be for someone who had 20/20.
I love it. Yes. Okay. And yeah, thank you for taking us through that description. So when you found out that you would lose an undetermined amount of your eyesight at an undetermined rate, as you mentioned, how old were you, in fact, when you found that out?
You know, I don't actually remember. I remember receiving parts, and really not receiving parts, but understanding parts of my diagnosis at different stages in my life. So my parents would take me as a kid to the eye doctors, and of course the doctor would turn to my parents, and they would say all these big words. Of course, as a little kid, I didn't understand. But really, you know, as I was growing up, I knew I was losing my eyesight, but really didn't even know the name of the condition. I still don't know how to spell it. But now, as I grew up and I realized, you know, and started to say, okay, what is this that's going on, and why, and what is it called? And, you know, learning that there is nothing that could be done about it. So just kind of really understanding this diagnosis over time, almost in the same rate that I lost my eyesight. And, you know, really the truth of the matter is that I have about 7% of my visual field left over. Okay. And so the truth is that I could wake up tomorrow and have less eyesight than I did today. And so really having a strong vision and a strong foundation for my purpose in this life is what keeps me grounded. Because if I do wake up tomorrow with less vision or less eyesight, excuse me, make that distinction clear, less eyesight than I had today, I will indeed have the same vision. And that is to change the world with my passion and my expertise in overcoming adversity.
Okay. Yes. And you just answered the question that I was going to ask you next, I was going to have you take through, take the listeners through the difference between sight and vision, which, do you have other comments on that you might want to add?
Yeah, absolutely. So in this life, one thing I've noticed is that we, you know, as human beings have a tendency to really focus on what we are seeing in the physical realm here. And in a lot of ways, that can be very distracting on a surface level, but also on a deeper level. If you've got a vision for your life and a goal and a dream, and you are living based off of what you see, you may not get very far. You may be moving at a speed that is actually slower than what you are capable of, because you're not necessarily seeing yourself in that vision. You're just seeing, you know, your circumstances. Maybe your vision is to start a business, and maybe the numbers aren't lining up to what the numbers are in your head, or maybe the bank account doesn't have the numbers that really align with the ones that you wanted. But when you are living your life rooted, and that's a key word there, Tomas, is rooted in vision, those circumstances really are quite trivial, because I have observed many human beings in this life who are rooted in vision, overcome tons of challenges, and it didn't matter whether they had $0 and 0 cents or more zeros than anyone's ever seen in this life.
Sure, you bet.
Right. When they're living their life rooted in the vision that they have for themselves and for how they're going to impact the world, circumstances come and go and they almost roll off of their back like water, and they continue to forge ahead with perseverance and courage no matter what they face. But, you know, if we're just living based off of what we see, right, our sight, we can become easily distracted and or discouraged.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. That's very helpful because there's so many distractions for us. So let's go back to when you were younger and you realized that all of this was happening. What emotions went through you? I mean, what did that feel like initially?
Yeah, so I can remember when I was a young child, I remember feeling fine, feeling okay with what was happening. You know, I was a happy girl, very loving. My parents told me that I often would have these bursts of love where I would just go around and hug complete strangers wherever we were, because I had so much love and passion, energy and joy on the inside of me as a child. And even as this diagnosis began to unfold, it didn't affect that, you know, that nature in me. But what started to happen here was I would hear the responses of people as we started to discuss what was going on. So as my parents began to present this to teachers or to other family members, or, you know, they would say, yes, she's losing her eyesight, or there's this diagnosis, or she's going blind, what have you. I would hear the reactions of these adults, and they would say things like, poor thing, or I'm so sorry. And in my mind as a child, I didn't see anything wrong with that. I thought, oh, I'm just a child. I'm having fun. And I'm a bit deaf kids, but I'm having a great time. But, you know, those stories of poor thing and I'm so sorry started to take root. Okay. And so not only was my sight becoming affected, but the vision that I had of myself as a young child of being fun, bubbly, and vivacious started to become blurred, you see. And so those stories that I heard from other people took root, and they blurred the vision that I had for myself. And so really the technique, Tomas, to living with a vision that will never blur is knowing who you are and declaring that you will live in that truth no matter what is happening around you.
Mm-hmm. And was that easy or difficult or both when you were growing up to live and identify that vision?
You know, it sounds very simple when you explain it, but the truth is that it is not easy. Some things in life can be simple, but they, you know, it doesn't mean that they are easy. It was challenging. I can remember times of very deep, deep depression, sorrow, sadness. My life became long days riddled with anxiety about tasks that were so simple to those who had their full eyesight. But for me, doing simple tasks became just these premeditated events of, am I going to be able to accomplish this? If so, how? And so I'm constantly thinking about the next thing, not enjoying the present moment. And so the days felt long. They felt sorrowful. I remember being alone a lot and having really intense bouts of depression that I only have overcome. I think my most recent serious bout of depression happened a little less than 10 years ago. So this new freedom that I'm walking in of having crystal clear vision of who I am, you know, in the grand scheme of things is quite new.
Okay. Right. And it just sounds from the conversations that we've had and from what we've talked about, that this has been quite a process. And is there one person that has helped you the most? Who has helped you deal with all of this adversity the most? If you could just name one individual.
The first person that comes to mind is a woman named Rosie. And Rosie is a blind professional. She's got her PhD. She has a beautiful family. She's married to a blind man. And Rosie is the one who mentored me as a teenager. As I was stepping into this, being blind and being a person with a visual impairment, and what does the future look like for me? Am I going to be able to live the life of my dreams? And so she took me under her wing and showed me, yes, Amber, yes, you can and you will live the life of your dreams, and I'm going to show you exactly how to get there.
I love it. That's wonderful. It's always wonderful to have a mentor, and no matter where you're listening from in any walk of life, we all remember the people, the coaches, the teachers, the friends that helped us along the way. So, Amber, what I'd like to do is we'll take a quick commercial break here, and when we come back, I'd like to hear more about Rosie as your mentor and your experiences. Guys, we'll be right back with Amber Kiera right here on Decide to Transform. Stick around.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Did you know that you have the power to change anything in your life? Did you know you can do so even with the things that you've already decided are impossible to change? Come join me, Venus Castleberg, on Outside the Impossible as I interview people from around the globe that have literally changed the things they thought were impossible to change just by using the amazing tools of Access Consciousness. Now airing Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare to believe that anything really is possible?
Are you considering starting your own podcast? Do you have a book or other content you'd like to share with a worldwide audience? Hello, I'm Tomas Garza, host of Decide to Transform here on Om Times Radio. Myself and Lisa Berry, host of Light on Living, help people like you produce your very own radio show. At Podcast Prosperity, we help you create your show and recirculate your content for multimedia impact. Through creation and launch, we give you the support and mentorship you need and help you create the influence, income, and impact you desire. Contact us at lightonliving.com/podcast prosperity.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your health care provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Decide to Transform. I'm your host, Tomas Garza, and you are listening to a very special interview today with Amber Kiera. Amber's title of the show is Blind with 2020, The Secret to Living with a Vision That Will Never Blur. And before the commercial break, Amber, you were talking about Rosie, the blind professional that served as your mentor when you were younger and has had a tremendous influence on you. So, how did you all meet?
Yes, I actually met Rosie at a special summer camp in Baltimore, Maryland, hosted by the National Federation of the Blind, and it was a summer camp designed for blind teenagers. And so I went up to the summer camp from Louisiana up to Baltimore, Maryland. Okay. And Rosie was one of the lead teachers there. And so all summer, you know, we really connected and she taught me. And a special thing about that summer is that I went back to school to 11th grade of high school mm-hmm. for the very first time with a long white cane. And that was a very hard day for me because it was really a day where I say I was coming out as a person with a disability to everyone, because before that, you know, excuse me, I would just kind of walk around, right? And I stumbled a lot. I tripped every now and then, but it was very difficult for people to tell that I was blind or I was going blind. And so it was hard because going back to a school where there were no other people with disabilities at all, and, you know, holding this long white cane in my hand really outed me as a person with a disability. And you can imagine in high school, which is probably hard for most, you know, especially in 11th grade where most people are coming back with, you know, stories of their summer jobs, or they got their driver's license or a new car. And here I, you know, all these things to make them look quote unquote cool. And I'm coming back with something that people really shied away from. Nobody wants to hang out with the blind kid or the kid with a disability at school. And so I got a lot of strange looks and questions and, ate lunch alone quite a bit that year, but really it was for the first time for me stepping into the person that I would become, which is a bold woman who is also blind. And she really encouraged me to show up on the first day of school with that cane, because that cane helped me to get around. I wasn't tripping over things anymore. I was going up and down stairs with confidence. I wasn't worried about getting from one class to the next without tripping or bumping into people or things, because I had a tool that really helped me navigate my world with confidence and ease.
Okay.
However, it really was a statement that said, yes, I am blind, I'm visually impaired. And it was kind of a big moment. She really pushed me and encouraged me in that way.
Okay. And it sounds like that was her idea and her suggestion, right? That you use the cane.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And I'm so glad she did.
So did you have a teacher or any friends that come to your mind going back to 11th grade with all of the, which is difficult, you're right, it's difficult enough to be 16 or 17 years old for anybody, and much less with your situation. So, you know, are there any teachers that helped you? I mean, who helped you the most in addition to Rosie?
You know, I had this teacher, and she was a teacher for people who were visually impaired. So I would spend 1 hour a day, the last hour of each school day, with her. And her name was Miss Campbell. And Miss Campbell, she was not blind, but she had the compassion and also the drive to make sure that I was doing as best as I could, and, you know, really just challenging me to be a woman of dignity and grace, regardless of the fact that I had a disability. And so I remember that she was a very classy woman, which I really admired. I admired how, like, classy she was in the way she carried herself. And I learned a lot about dignity and grace and really being able to carry myself as a proud blind woman in all things, not just the outer things of the way I dressed or walked or what have you, but really it started from developing that inner strength and that inner courage to say, yes, this is who I am, and I'm showing up as my most bold and most authentic self in every circumstance. So I learned so many, like, things from her that affected my inside and then just boiled over to the outside. And I thank her very often. She follows me on Facebook and comments on everything. And I just, every single day, I'm so grateful for Miss Campbell.
Okay. Well, and you still have a relationship with her, it sounds like.
Yes.
That's great. I love it. Okay. Well, so at what point did you notice that things began to be easier, or it began to feel more normal to have the cane and out yourself, right, as a person with a disability, as you described it? I mean, at what point did things begin to transition from really difficult to better or easier?
You know, it took a few years, actually. But right, you know, after okay. I graduated from high school, I went to a program for blind adults to really gain all of the skills they need to function as an independent blind adult. And it was a 9-month program where you, no matter how much eyesight you have left, you wear blindfolds for 8 hours a day and you practice different skills, different techniques. And so I got a chance to really not perfect my skills, but increase my skills as a blind person. And, you know, during and after that program, I began to feel so confident as a blind person, and that was a huge turning point for me. So I, you know, being the word blind became different for me. The long white cane became different for me. At first, it was something I wanted to hide or I was ashamed about. But, you know, then it turned into a sense of, I'm so proud. I'm so proud to be who I am, because when I show up, you know, as this authentic person who's proud and, you know, whole and complete, lacking nothing, it speaks louder than words ever could. And it was such a game changer for me.
Okay. Yeah. And is there one incident in particular that stands out to you? I mean, if there is one, is there one that stands out to you as a realization where you had really turned the corner, or that you had really, really transformed on a deep level?
You know, I don't remember one specific circumstance. I do remember kind of a series of events. We had to take shop class, so we're completely blindfolded, and we're using all these different saws, the table saw, bandsaw, rotor, you know, all these different high power, really kind of dangerous tools under blindfolds. I remember in that class, you know, feeling so empowered, like, okay, if I can use a table saw with, you know, completely blindfolded, there's no reason why I couldn't walk into a coffee shop and, you know, meet a friend and have, you know, and have confidence doing that, which that used to terrify me. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this by myself. What if I bump into someone, or what if I can't see this or that? You know, all these stories used to come up for me about doing the simplest of tasks. But I'm thinking, if I can use a table saw over and over again and make precise, very precise cuts, there's no reason why I couldn't, you know, go to a college, university, and navigate the campus. So it's like a really affects that inner work, you know.
Yes, it does. And I think of all the power tools in shop, because I had to take some shop classes when I was in high school too, and I had a classmate that sliced a piece of his finger on one of those lovely power saws. So I love that. Yeah, if you can do a power saw, then you can certainly navigate your way around a college campus. So, and you did that. You went on to attend university. Where did you go to school?
In North Louisiana, at Louisiana Tech University. I got my bachelor's in nutrition, and then went on to get my master's in health and human performance, and then from there, I moved to Colorado, and then from there, moved to San Francisco. So I've been moving around a little bit these days and just really enjoying these different seasons here.
Yes. Yeah, and there are a lot of them. There's so many of them in life. That's most definitely for sure. So thank you for taking us through the description of some of your mentors, Rosie and Miss Campbell. I think that's really an important piece, is there are always people that feel like they're alone whenever there's some kind of adverse circumstance going on. So what would you say to people that feel alone or they're dealing with adversity? You know, do you have specific words of advice for somebody that's trying to cope with a really difficult situation?
I like to say, reach in, reach out, and reach up. So first, I invite you to reach in because I want to encourage you that you have all of the tools that you need to overcome this right inside of you. I know you feel, you know, you feel like I don't have what I need to overcome, but you do. So take a moment to reach in, pull out stories from times that you've overcome in the past, right? There are some times where you've overcome, you know, pull out some different memories that you have of navigating tricky obstacles and see what you've done already. So reach in because you have the tools that you need. Second, reach out. I know you feel like you might be alone, but there are people out there, whether they be people you know or complete strangers, who would love to support you and would love to cheer you on. So don't hesitate. Reach out. We are not on this earth alone, and we don't have to go through any seasons alone. So reach in. You have everything you need. Reach out. There are tons of people who would love to cheer you on, give you an encouraging word, and then reach up. Whatever that means for you, whatever that means for you. For me, I reach up to God, but that could mean something different to you. But really embrace that spiritual aspect, because when you reach up and you plug into that source, oh man, your perspective on things will start to shift and change. And so I just love just taking a moment to step back and to reach in, reach out, and reach up. And in through that, there's no possible way that you could not make it. Like, you are going to make it through this challenging season and circumstance.
Okay. Well, and you mentioned your own faith and your own spirituality just now. Is there a specific practice or a specific technique or anything that you personally do to go within and connect?
Yeah, absolutely. So I call it plugging into the source. And I love calling it that because, you know what? We all have phones these days. What's going to happen to your phone if you don't plug it into that power source? It will die. You know, it will be useless. There's really no use for a phone that's not charged. You can't use it for anything, right? And so you got to plug it into the source. So when I wake up in the morning, okay, at 6 a.m., the very first thing that I do is I get plugged into the source. And that could look differently for you. I'm going to let you in on what, you know, what my practice is.
Because definitely.
Yeah, I want to be alive. I want to be lively and functional. So what I do is I love to listen to one or two worship songs, you know, that really just bring me back to the truth and to just, just to get me going. And then the second thing I do is I read a passage or, you know, a chapter in the Bible, which is the book I study. And and then the last thing I do is I keep a little list right here on my iPhone in the Reminders app called my prayer list, list. Mm-hmm. And I break it down. The first thing on that is, so I start from the outward and I go in. So the first thing I pray for is I pray for the world. I pray for my family. I pray for my church members, then my roommates, and then my coworkers. And then the last thing I pray for is for myself and the different needs and really dreams that I have on my heart, like my speaking, my coaching career, the nonprofit that I have, my singleness. I have that on there too because I have a desire for companionship. So really all of these desires that I have, I pray for those. And it's just been quite powerful to really keep that list and to be able to look and see, you know, how the Lord has provided. So that is my and it takes me probably about an hour, you know, to go through mm-hmm. this practice sure. of plugging into the source. So it's a, you know, there's music involved, worship, there's a studying, you know, the Holy Scripture, and then there's prayer. And really, it just sets me up for my day. And as I plug into that source, I come alive.
Okay. Yeah, I love it. It's so fun to hear what everybody's routine is or practice, because as you said, it looks very differently for mm-hmm. everybody, but there are so many ways that people can plug in to their source energy. Now, you mentioned a nonprofit just a second ago, mm-hmm. your nonprofit. Tell us really briefly about that, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's so exciting because we're recording this in the midst of the coronavirus is right now, you know. So it's caused us, you know, as an organization to think bigger. So really, under the title of Clear Vision Global, we are equipping people with disabilities with the tools they need to launch into the life of their dreams. And we're doing that through providing with high level coaching to really help them launch into the next level, because most people with disabilities, they're not working, they're not into jobs that that really honor the skills and expertise that they have, so they're not really making the money that they need to really sure. you know, have high access to high level coaching, and so really our organization, our mission is to provide them with that so that they can launch into the next level of the life of their dreams. And one of the initiatives under that is called Canes for Christ, where we go to other countries and we provide blind kids in other countries with canes so that they can navigate and really get around their world and start contributing and living a life that they love. So it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I love it. That's wonderful. Well, guys, stay tuned here. We're going to pause for a quick commercial break, but I've got more with Amber Kiera. You're listening to Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, author of Decide and host of Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. I want to ask you, if you want something in life, have you decided on it? If not, you'll listen to a limiting story about yourself. You will say you can't, you're too old, too young, etc. Decide to transform in life. Learn what you can choose to believe instead of your limiting stories. Decide. Available now in paperback and ebook.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee, and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Decide to Transform. I'm your host, Tomas Garza, and Amber Kiera joins me today on the show. We're having a fantastic discussion about overcoming adversities and obstacles that, frankly, many of us will never have to face, but there are a lot of parallels. So, Amber, before the break, we were talking about your nonprofit, and you also have a private coaching practice. Tell us a little bit more about that, if you would.
Yes, absolutely. So one of my favorite things in the whole wide world, Tomas, is coaching people one-on-one. And it's such a beautiful experience of me pouring out that wisdom and that truth and knowledge that I've gained, but also walking alongside someone in their journey and encouraging mm-hmm. them to really step fully into their calling in a way that is bold and courageous and rooted in vision. It's so powerful. And, you know, I have a great, you know, group of clients, and I've actually opened up my program this season, and I've got room for a few more clients. So I really am just, it's another thing that I think about and I pray for is the next few people that I am going to start coaching are going to see such an incredible just season of growth and transformation for themselves. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait to walk alongside them in that.
I love it. All right. Now, is this something that you have just begun, or have you been doing this for a while?
You know, I started health coaching several years ago because that's what my educational background is. But really, what that has evolved into is really just full-on life transformation and adversity coaching. Some of my clients do respect into it, which I'm happy to do. I'm all about that holistic aspect. So looking at the person as a whole and what needs do we have. But really, I've been coaching in some form or fashion for the last several years, but it really has evolved itself in this past season. So I'm looking forward to growing in that and to having these incredible experiences with people.
Okay. And where would people find more information about this?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is just my name. It's amberkiera.com, and I'll spell that. It's AmberKiera.com. And if you go on that website, you can actually book a complimentary 30-minute connection call with me. And I love those calls, Tomas, because really it's a time for people to pour out what's on their heart. Let me know what vision do you have for your life right now? Mm-hmm. And then we have a meaningful discussion of how can I come alongside you in that? How can I support and serve you in that vision? And we make a meaningful decision together. So those calls are so beautiful and life-giving, no matter what the outcome is. So I encourage people to book those calls.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, and for those of you listening, those calls are available to be booked on Amber's website, amberkiera.com. And yeah, thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I have a couple more questions, of course, mm-hmm. for you about how you're getting along with day-to-day challenges and things now as an adult, because we spent some time talking about your youth and when you were in high school and then going to university and graduate school. What would you say right now your greatest day-to-day challenge actually is?
It's not anything necessarily in the physical realm. You know, every now and then I'll drop, every now and then I'll drop a back to an earring and I can't find it. Okay, big deal. But but really on the inside, Tomas, every now and then things will be going just fine. And there'll be a little, you know, a little small voice of doubt that would creep up it on the inside of me. And I've got to say, wait a minute. I know the truth about who I am. I was made for this. This is my purpose. This is my calling. This is my vision. Okay. And so I've got to battle that. It's not every day, but it does come up for me, you know, every now and then, just a little bit of doubt there. And I have a coach. Okay. Great coaches have coaches. Okay. And, so I have to, you know, take a moment to be transparent and say, you know what? My coach's name is Alex, you know, Alex, wonderful coach. And I say, you know what, Alex,
yes.
This is what we had planned today. These are the things that were on our agenda today. But let me tell you, there was some self-doubt that creeped up, and I've got to be honest with you. I didn't handle it well. You know, this is what came up for me. This is where I'm at. And we wrestled through that together. That's the power of having a coach, and we moved forward. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, and then what kind of practices or things do you do when you feel that doubt creeping up?
Yeah. So again, reach out and reach up. So I reach in and I say, you know what, Amber, this is some self-doubt right here. Let me tell you, you've overcome greater things, and you will overcome greater things. And this is what you're called to. We're going to move forward. And then from there, I reach out to my coach, reach out to a friend. Hey, this is what's coming up for me right now. I need a shoulder to lean on. You know, I need a little bit of encouragement. And then I reach up and say, God, I need help. Will you give me some wisdom on this right now? And through that, I'm able to overcome and move forward. But though they sound easy to say, okay, but it could take a day. It could take a day or two. Really, to do all of that, to have the bandwidth and the strength. It takes a lot of strength and courage to reach in, reach out, and reach up. But, oh, man, it's so powerful.
Right. It certainly is. And it definitely helps to have a coach and friends and people in your corner, no doubt about it. Yes. And this is very, very helpful for all of our listeners, because who doesn't experience self-doubt? Who doesn't experience second-guessing? No matter what we're talking about here, it's so common. And Amber, what is the top thing or top two things, you know, if there's more than one, what would you most like people to know or to realize? What would you want them to know about what it's like to be in the world blind?
It is challenging, yes. I'm going to be honest. Uh-huh. It is hard being blind in a sighted world, especially I live in a big city of San Francisco. Oh, man, there are some days, I call them blind days, where I get home at 5, 6 o'clock, and I've had enough, and I don't step back outside because it was it was a challenging day, and I order dinner in, and we take a moment to reset.
I see.
But, It is challenging, but you know what? I say you either do or you don't. So I either, you know, take those challenges with a grain of salt, move forward, you know, live the life of my dreams, or I don't. You know, I sit in a corner somewhere and I don't play full out, and I, you know, just kind of waste away. So you either do or you don't. And I tell you one thing, doing is harder than not doing, but it is so worth it. You know, on those quote unquote blind days, they may be tough. I may shed some tears, but it is so worth it in the end to do what you love and to live your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agree. It is. And so have you noticed the blind days, as you've called them, have you noticed those growing fewer, or are there periods in life where there seem to be a number of those in succession? What does that look like for you?
You know, when I first moved to San Francisco 2.5 years ago, there were quite a few days in a row, okay? And, you know, but as you start to settle into a space and a rhythm, they're a little more far, few, and in between there. And also, as I've been growing in my inner strength, Tomas. Those days have become fewer and fewer. So really beginning to get into the practice of overcoming those obstacles, overcoming that self-doubt that creeps in from time to time. As I've been strengthening myself from the inside, I've noticed that those days have become fewer and fewer. And also strengthening myself from the inside by plugging in to the source has been powerful for me.
Okay, I love that. Yeah, and what would you say to somebody that's skeptical about doing the internal work? I mean, this is Om Times Radio, so a number of our listeners are really, really interested in that. But, you know, we all know people that scoff at us. So what would you say about the importance of the inner work to somebody that was maybe skeptical about that?
I invite them to take a look. You know, take a look. Where are you right now? And is what's happening in your physical realm in alignment with who you truly know yourself to be? And if it's not, it may be. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if it's not, I would invite them to start to reach in and explore that inner work for themselves, because really and truly that alignment really starts to come into play when you're doing that inner work. It all starts from the inside.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I agree. I completely agree. It all starts from the inside. That's in fact what a path of transformation is all about. So in the time that remains to us, I do have really one more question that I want to ask you. If you had to pinpoint a number one lesson, you know, a top lesson, and again, if there's more than one, feel free to comment on all of those, but what's the top lesson that you've learned from all of this, from all of your experience?
Mm-hmm. I would say a top lesson that I have learned from all of this wisdom, all of these lessons that I have learned, and this, what I'm about to say, Tomas, it applies to every single person that is listening today.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna give it to them. I'm gonna just give it to them. You were designed for a very specific purpose, and you have everything you need to carry this purpose and to make your dream a reality. So my charge, my challenge to you is this: identify that purpose and take the next step today, because the world is waiting. We need you. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear your story. Okay? And those unique gifts and talents that you have on the inside, we're waiting for, and it's going to be an incredible contribution, not just for yourself, but for the entire world around you. So you're made for a specific purpose, and we are waiting.
I love that. All right, I'm going to repeat that for all of our listeners. You are made for a specific purpose, and we are waiting. So Amber, would you say don't hold back?
Oh, do not hold back. It's almost like, you know, if a parent had, you know, a bunch of birthday or Christmas presents for their kids and they only gave them half of them, you know, it's like, what? That doesn't make any sense. You've got a bunch of special gifts and talents that you can give to the world to make this world a bright and shinier place. So do not hold back, because we are waiting and we need you.
Yes, we are waiting and we need you. So, Amber, in the time that remains here, tell us again how people can reach out to you and contact you.
Absolutely. My website is a great place to start. I'm going to go ahead and spell that out.
Mm-hmm. All right.
AmberKierra.com, AmberKierra. And you can also find me with that same handle there on Facebook and Instagram. And of course, as a blind person, one of my absolute favorite things to receive is a voice note. So if you find me on Facebook or Instagram, please send me a voice note. It would absolutely make my day.
I love it. Yes, voice notes are always great. People use them all the time. I use them because I'm too lazy to type sometimes, true confession. But yes, that's wonderful. So amberkiera.com. Amber, thank you so much for joining us. This has been very wonderful, and I'm so glad that you were able to come on the show today. And people, if you have gifts, you know you do have them, and if you know what they are and you're holding back, please don't hold back. Amber, any quick last words for our listeners?
I encourage you, whatever that next step is for you, take that next step today. The time is now.
That's right. Take that next step today. The time is now. We're signing off here, everybody. Thank you for listening to this special edition of Decide to Transform. I'm your host, Tomas Garza, and on behalf of Amber Kiera, have a great rest of the week. We'll see you next time.